welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by real estate agents for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host through the show. And a couple of quick announcements before we get started for the interview with Alex is that we want your questions. So we are going to start taking our listener questions about how to become successful or more successful as a real estate broker. And here's how to submit your questions. You can visit our Facebook page, which is Keeping It Real Pod. So just search for that. Or you can go to our website, keepingitrealpod.com, and there's a contact form. You can submit questions there too. Before we get to our interview, I wanted to share a statistic with you that 88% of consumers are going to look up online reviews of your company before purchasing a product. Now, this isn't specifically a real estate statistic, but we could reasonably suggest that your clients are looking up to see what your previous clients think about you. So I was just recently doing a corporate team building event at a place where you have to escape a room working together. And at the end of it, we all had such a great time, but our guide through the exercise said, hey, just so you know, we'd really appreciate it if you leave us a review on TripAdvisor. It's how we get a majority of our business. And if you feel like we did a really good job, it'd be the best thing you could do for us. It would really help us out. And I thought about that and I did leave a review, but I thought, geez, I wonder how many brokers are forgetting to ask their clients to leave a review, whether it's on Zillow or Google or Facebook or Yelp or Trulia or or realtor.com. Obviously there's a lot of places, but, and I wouldn't ask, of course, your clients to submit reviews to all those. That would be too daunting, but are you even asking for one or two? Certainly at least ask for one. So I would pick a review system, for example, Zillow, and really make sure that if you feel like you did a good job for your clients, that you reach out to them and let them know. What I would say is, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Client, thank you so much. I was really honored to be your broker. And if you felt like I did a good job, one of the ways you could help me with my business is to share your experience with me. Here's a link. This enables me to spend less time marketing, looking for clients, and actually more time servicing my clients. So you're really doing me a huge service and I thank you in advance. Again, that could be an email, but just a thought. And because your clients are gonna look up to see, you know, those reviews anyway, might as well try to stack the deck in your favor. So again, consider that for your existing clientele. And also, remember with your questions to submit those to our show either on Facebook or on our website. All right, on to the interview. So, Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's funny, you remembered better than I, and I'm embarrassed to say that it took me a moment, but we had actually met, about 3 years ago, and I remember you coming in now to our other office, and I tried in vain to recruit you, and I guess it didn't work, but we're glad to have you on the show, so thank you.
No, I'm always looking for other opportunities and things, and I've been very, very happy at Redfin. But you got to know what's out there to make sure you're happy where you're at.
And we should also point out that you were telling me just off mic that you had this exact idea for a podcast.
I did, yeah. I told my wife two months ago about, like, I should interview other brokers and make a podcast, because I'm a huge podcast fan, and she was like, yeah, you should do it. And then it just kind of lingered in the back of my mind, and then I got your assistant's email, and I was like, someone's already doing it. Missed the opportunity.
Trust me, I it would be nice to have another player in the space, so I won't feel as alone, but yeah, I'm really, really glad you're here. So talk, because you've been in real estate since 2011, and you just... Yeah. You've transitioned from the city, not that you physically have transitioned living from the city out to the suburbs.
I'm also transitioning my business out there too. So I have, one foot in both right now. I'm picking up all my new clients out in the suburbs and everything like that. But then I have my legacy clients and my old clients who I'm still servicing in the city. So, people come back to me all the time and they're like, can you help me buy here? And I'm like, yeah, of course. But, you know, all my new business is coming in the suburbs.
Sure. Let's talk about how you got started, because I want to end up in the suburbs and talking about how you transitioned. But how did you get started? Tell us that story.
Sure. So the story actually starts when I was like 16. I hanging out with my my uncle, who's in commercial real estate. And I really just admired him and admired, you know, what he could do and you know, the kind of ethos of real estate and everything like that. And so he inspired me to be in real estate. So when I was 18, I actually signed up for a real estate class. And this was, let's see, 18, so I was 2006. And so they they looked at me and they asked me how old I was, and I was, you know, I told them I'm 18, and they were like, okay, well, you might have to be 21. Let's, like, check at lunch. So at lunch, they kicked me out of the class because I had to be 21. So that kind of annoyed me. So I came back when I was 21, got my real estate license. I was still in college. I just hung it with my uncle.
Sure.
And so then after college, I knew I wanted to do something real estate related, but this was, you know, you can imagine the worst time to be in real estate, 2010.
Sure.
So I'm calling developers. I went to Northwestern and got an econ degree. So I was like, I want to be a developer and do all that. And I called a bunch of developers and they were all like, we're firing people with, you know, MBAs and 10 years of experience. And I was like, okay, so I got to find something else. So I found something else, which was right after college. I did lease administration for a small boutique firm, but they had a ton of business. I mean, even with like the 12 people at the firm, they did probably, you know, like I think they had almost $1 billion in leases that they managed.
Wow.
Just because the size of leases that you can manage are, can just be so huge. And they only did billing and stuff for them. So it was all very simple. It wasn't like we actually had to do management of that. But, you know, it was interesting, but I was very not challenged there. So I knew I wanted to do brokerage, or I figured I wanted to do brokerage. So looking around, you know, with a conventional broker, you know, I talked to commercial brokers, I talked to residential brokers. Commercial brokers, they said your first paycheck, if day one you got a client to sign a lease, was like 6 months later. And I was like, that's not going to work. I have student loans. I have, you know, my life. I had just started and I don't have, you know, parental money. So so commercial was not going to work. And then residential, they said, you know, first day, it's going to be 2 months later if they sign, you know, 45 days at least to get a loan. And this was also in 2010, 2011 when
it was pretty hard to get loans.
To get loans. People were not in the business. It was not as easy as it was in 2007, 2006, you know, to get business. So, you know, established people were leaving the business. So I was like, oh, this is, you know, not really a good situation either. And then I spoke with Redfin, and Redfin, how they pay you is just so much different that I was like, this can actually work. And so then I started working for them a couple weeks later.
And you've been with them for six years.
So April of 2011. So yeah, 6.5 years now.
And you know, we mentioned your accolades, or I did in the intro, but I should mention one of them, which is, you know, aside from everything else, is you have almost a perfect 5-star rating on the Red. I mean, these are not false ratings. These are Redfin's own customers rating you, and it's nearly perfect, which speaks to your ability or to the satisfaction of your clients.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, and you know, there are the bad ones on there. We put the good and the bad. We survey everyone who writes an offer. So if good or, you know, failed or successful, they get surveyed. So whether they choose to fill out the survey or not, that's up to them. But
sure.
We survey them so that, you know, we get the most accurate information, and we put it all up there. Unless it contains a factually inaccurate statement,
sure,
we put it up there. So
And I mean, it's a real testament to your obviously the quality of service you provide. And by the way, you have almost closing in on 300 reviews. I know probably 10% of the clients actually fill that out, or maybe it's slightly higher, but it isn't 90%. So the fact that, so you could just multiply that by a pretty, you know, an exponential number and get the actual number of people you've worked with, which is truly impressive.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, you know, let me start with a short little just Redfin anecdote of my own.
Sure.
Which is, I have a friend And she recently bought a home through a Redfin broker. Awesome. Might have been you, but but I actually don't know who she used. But initially, she was with another traditional brokerage firm. I won't mention who because it doesn't matter. But it was, you know, it was a traditional firm, a good firm, like a really good firm. And one where you don't usually hear like, oh, their brokers are not so good. It was really, and I'm sure the broker she worked with was fine. But for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, I know the reason, she ultimately left that broker and decided to go to Redfin. And what she found was her rationale. And I had even offered, before she decided to go Redfin, I didn't know she was considering Redfin. I said, oh, if you're interested, if you're not happy with your broker, we've got lots of brokers. I can definitely pair you up with someone.
Yeah.
And she ended up saying, oh, that's nice. And then ended up going with Redfin. And ultimately, I said, oh, just out of curiosity, what was it that prompted you? She goes, you know, I found myself doing the vast majority of the work. She had been looking to buy a condo for about a year.
Sure.
And she had just was constantly on Zillow and the other websites, you know, looking up. And really, it wasn't that she didn't need a broker for to help guide her through the process, but she didn't like paying, you know, she knew what ultimately she would be paying. And again, all, you know, you can make the argument, of course, the seller pays, but but it's reflected in the price and she sort of said, you know, not that Redfin doesn't provide a high level of service. She goes, but I love the fact that in her case, there was some sort of rebate that came back her way that was substantial. And she's like, this is perfect because I get a professional and I get a rebate. She just felt that the service was so great. And I hear that time and time again from...
We'd love to hear that. That's great.
So talk a little bit about your process because you work with buyers.
Almost exclusively I work with buyers. I've done, I can do sales, but how Redfin works is that they really try to make you efficient at your job. And so I get more buyers than I can handle. And so we have this phrase where we turn ourselves off, which is basically we stop taking new business on an individual basis if we're too busy. And this happens. This happens to our brokers. I'm probably off 50% of the year just because I've got all my legacy clients and I get all these referrals now that I've been in the business for so long. We do give the rebate. We're infamous in the industry for giving the rebate. We actually find that like probably about half of our clients have sort of heard about the rebate but don't really know what it is and are interested, like, what's the number, how's it calculated, like, do I get one on this property? It changes all the time what the rebate actually is, but we find that people like fast service and, you know, like service right now. We're in an on-demand industry. It's becoming more and more an on-demand industry. And it's becoming more and more on-demand world, really. You know, like Amazon is becoming, you know, they're trying to get drones to drop off things within an hour and like things like that, like all this craziness. And so Redfin is using our technology to try to be in that same space, to do things so quickly that you have to use us because we're just so good at being quick. And then we can... Because we're so efficient and quick, we can actually give a rebate on some of the things. So, to your question about how I work, I very much believe in the ethos of Redfin of being quick and customer focused. If you do those two things, I think the business just comes.
Yeah, there's some. Gosh, my boss always quotes the number, and I can't remember, but it's the vast majority of people would rather have a quick answer. Even if it's incorrect, that you later go back and say, oh, you know what, I have to make an adjustment, then waiting for an answer that is double checked. And not to say that you should ever give
wrong answers.
Yeah, you shouldn't. But just this idea of speed. And I also want to point out Redfin is, you know, it used to be with SEO, and meaning, you know, search engine optimization, the search engine results when people are searching in the engines. It used to be when you were looking for a house, you saw Realtor.com is usually number one. You know, Zillow and Trulia were farther behind. Redfin wasn't as much on the map, and this is years ago. And then all of a sudden, Realtor.com, you know, slipped a few places. Zillow
bought and sold by so many people. I think they're
yes, just, probably true.
Their leadership and their ideas just can't make a thing if you change every 6 months on ownership.
Yeah, and other firms, other websites just have, you know, really impressive technology and have risen the ranks. And now all of a sudden, it's Zillow and Redfin, right? Yeah. And you know, and then again, Trulia and is still up there, so is Realtor.com.
But Zillow owns Trulia, so I don't, you know, basically at a certain point they're going to just consolidate into Zillow, I'm assuming, but we'll see what happens.
Well, and years before that, it was really locally, it was Dreamtown was showing up at the top.
Yeah.
And then Redfin has just unseated, you know, pretty much everyone, and now it's them and Zillow. So when you do a search, it's really impressive because they're driving so much traffic to their site, and they're clearly, consumers are clearly happy with the experience of the Redfin website, because Google again rewards, you know, time on page, and, and are people dumping out of the site, going to another one. And the fact is, it's a really good consumer experience. And so it's doesn't seem at all surprising to me that that translates over into the broker experience too.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's like, okay, great experience on the website. Then when they connect with a broker, you know, Redfin's like, obviously knows that they have to continue that.
Yeah, and then we continue the speed. We found that if you don't call them back within 15 minutes, you're something like 60% less likely to get them as a client. Like they're just gonna start making calls. When they have a question, find the property, they'll make a call until they get a response. And so we try to call people back, you know, so quickly that they continue using us.
Let's talk about now you've recently transitioned your business again. You mentioned this earlier, from sort of mostly the city to now mostly the suburbs, or at least I know you have business everywhere.
This year I'm going to be about 30 in the suburbs and 70 in the city. Hopefully next year it'll be more 50-50, so I don't have to drive into the city as much. But I'm doing that transition, and Redfin really helps me because I don't have to do all the showings for all my clients.
Right.
I have like a team that works under me, a team of associate agents. So these associates, for the city, if I just can't make it into the city that day, I've got the associate agent who can make that work for me. So it really works, especially with the legacy clients who like working with me and already work with me. I can, make them work with my associates a little bit more, and then just follow up after this, tour and write those offers for them. I find that really, really makes the transition a lot easier. The suburbs are fun. They're different. It's different. You don't have to like search for parking all the time.
It's true.
But in terms of what the clients are looking for, it's a lot of those, people with kids who are moving out for the school districts or for more space. And, the suburbs are a little bit calmer. A lot of people are still trying to make it work in the city. The city is pretty gangbusters in most of those A, B, and even C tier neighborhoods are pretty gangbusters. The suburbs are neighborhood by neighborhood specific, and so it's people have to figure that out a little bit more. And I feel like they don't have the urgency that they do in the city. Like the city, they're just like, all right, we know that things will go quickly. We got to, make an offer quick and everything like that. Suburbs are like, well, we'll wait a day or two to, think about that. So
we were looking at, because we were, before we started, we were looking at the total number of brokers in the area. I think we're at about 34,000-35,000. Now, this includes the suburbs. And I don't know what the breakdown is of city versus suburbs, but let's just say it's even half and half. It's probably more in the suburbs. But even so, it's still a tremendous number of realtors, 34,000-35,000. And, this is always a difficult question, not to ask, but to answer, I think, because on the show, we really talk to just top producers, and they all sort of just look at me, or if we're doing it virtually, you can feel the look, which is when I say, why do you think people choose you? You mentioned your speed, which is obviously critical. But aside from that, when I say, why do you think people choose you over others? Oftentimes it's like, I don't know, meaning not that they don't know because they haven't thought about it. They don't understand what they're doing that's so unique.
Sure.
Because to them, their service level is so high, because maybe it just is like, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But do you have a sense of why you think you've become so successful?
Well, I think initially it's because of the speed, and because we have the such technology that backs us up. The website, they're searching on the website, they can just click we're actually rolling out stuff that like you can click the phone number so you can call through your computer to us. So we're even making it easier for them.
Sure.
I think that's initially why they come to us. I think why they either stay or why they come back. For me, it's patience. Patience and expertise. I really am an expert in the neighborhoods that I work in. I really spend a lot of time reading the articles, looking at the numbers, looking at the data to really to know what's going on. And then I've just done so much work in the last, you know, 6-7 years that that I know how to get it done. I know what it takes. I know, you know, tips and tricks how to make things happen. That I think people can really get that and understand that. And then, yeah, patience. I find all the time that my reviews always contain, like, he was so patient with us. We were you know, lost, and he guided us, and he had patience, and he didn't mind if we took a little while to make our decisions. And I find that's probably the biggest thing that they say about me. So if you ask them, maybe they'll say something different, or if you ask, you know, another broker, maybe they'll see something that I would do different. But no, I think that's what I see. And just, you know, I try to add value in every interaction that I have with a client. I try to add value to them, whether it's educating them about the market, or whether it's educating them about a process. Like, I've got an investor who's coming back for his third or fourth property from me, and he's looking at those condo deconversions. So we walk through that, and I'm like, listen, I've never done it before, but here's, you know, what I've read, and here's, you know, the general process. And even the listing broker was like, yeah, that's basically it. And then, like, he had some property-specific information to give us, but for the process, he already knew. And I'd never done that before, but that's the kind of expertise that I really bring to my clients.
Yeah, it's definitely comes across, and again, it's reflected in all the reviews you have. But also, we were talking about this earlier. I don't think this made its way to the show yet, but you talked about radical honesty and how important it is to just sort of be forthright about everything. And I suspect that is pretty helpful to you.
Yeah, definitely inspections and what they're looking at. Like, are people going to like this? And, you know, it's, what about the resale? And all these questions that I get, it so much depends on honesty, or I think it does, because you can always be honest, and the honest truth is the same no matter when you say it. And right. So I sometimes forget that I've had a conversation with a client. And so that if I'm honest, I will say the same thing over those 5 conversations. If there's a lie there, you can get caught in that lie, because the next time the lie might be different. And so it's like, just be honest, even if the ugly truth is ugly.
And sometimes it is, right?
Sometimes it is, yeah. You're sometimes not telling people what they want to hear. You're telling them
what they need to hear.
What they need to hear, and yeah, the reality of things. So,
what you mentioned having geographic specialties.
Sure.
How did you choose those? Were they were neighborhoods that I think initially, I would assume initially, or was,
yeah, so initially a few years ago when I went with Redfin, they try to get you to be a neighborhood expert if you're not. And so they geographically give you clients who are searching in those areas. So, you know, when I first started, it was all the way from like Edgewater to Hyde Park and west to Garfield Park. I mean,
sure.
It was a ginormous area because we were a small company. We didn't have that many brokers. Since we've grown, I mean, when I was moving out of the city into the burbs, my territory was basically like river north to south loop, west to west loop.
Right.
So that, I mean, I still had clients who'd go to Wicker Park. I had legacy people all the way up in, you know, Lakeview and Edgewater and Hyde Park even, but they really try to get you to be in as small of area as possible so you can really know the buildings. I mean, in River North, you can be like, oh, what do you think of that building? I'd be like, oh, that building's got a crazy special assessment coming up, or this has got this, or, and it really would increase your ability to be knowledgeable about areas. So going to the suburbs, I actually grew up in Clarendon Hills, so I know, you know, from back in the day, my parents lived there for a long time after I moved out, and then really understanding the real estate is, you know, hitting the streets, going to open houses, seeing properties, and looking at the data, like what's going up, what's going down. So, yeah.
It's exactly what just about every successful broker tells me they do. They hyper-focus in a few key areas. They become more knowledgeable than most brokers in those key areas. They freely admit, hey, you know, I can certainly assist you in other areas, but my prime focus is, you know, they always come back to their true north, whatever those areas are. And it's such a obvious thing. And Redfin obviously has that same model, which is, you know, hey, we can pair you up with one of hundreds of agents, or we can pair you up with somebody who hyper-specializes in Lincoln Park or Lakeview or wherever.
Wherever. And we do that often, where somebody will be looking with me, and then they're like, oh, we want to go look in this other neighborhood. And I'm like, I'll get you out with an associate if you decide to go in that neighborhood and buy in that neighborhood. I'm going to hook you up with somebody who's great in that neighborhood. So,
and if you think like the willingness to walk away from business like that, and I understand it's built into their model, but just still the willingness to say, hey, you're best served maybe by John who specializes in South Loop or South Hyde Park or wherever, I think is... At least it's a feel good to a consumer.
Yeah,
it's hey, you know what, this person's probably got a better handle of this area, and also from you.
We have to communicate it properly, but yeah, it works out much better in their favor.
Sure.
It really works out in the buyer's favor.
And so we had to answer a few questions that we thought were fun. This is a pretty unique one. We always ask what's the sort of most unusual we have two questions. Well, the funniest real estate experience, you have a pretty funny one. So.
Yeah. So, this was actually pretty early. This was like second year in the business. We're in looking in the South Loop, Dearborn Park. And there was a townhome. I got there a few minutes before my client because the tenant was going to open up the property for us. And so I just wanted to make sure the tenant was there and everything was going to go smoothly. So I knocked on the door and the tenant opens the door and he has a snake in his hand. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And it's like wrapped around his arm. He's not wearing a shirt. He's got like tattoos. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, he's like, what's up? And I'm like, we're here to see the property. They're like, are you ready for us? And he's like, oh yeah, like come on in. And I'm like, let me wait out here for my client. My client's not here yet. Let me come in. So my client gets in. I'm like, he's got a snake in his hand. He's a weird dude. Are you sure you want to see this property? And they're like, yeah, we'll see it. I'm like, okay, cool. So we go in. He's got like a bong on his table. I mean, this is a disaster property, disaster tenant. He sits there on his couch, doesn't talk to us, watches TV with the snake in his hand. And then he's got two terrariums with another snake. It's like, oh my God, what is this guy? And then we go upstairs and it was a three bedroom, but they had converted into two with the master bathroom, not having a wall. So it was a 10-foot opening into the master bath with a jacuzzi that could probably fit 15 people, blew everything straight out of, I think that's the 80s when everything was matching, toilets, sinks,
sure,
bathtub. Everything was blue, open to this. It was
like a powder blue, probably.
Powder blue. Yeah. It was the weirdest showing experience. Oh my God, that guy. We got out of there. We didn't end up buying it, but they should have. They should have lowballed him and got a good offer, but what are you going to do? It was too weird.
And then you also had a squatter experience.
Yeah, that one was interesting. So this was, probably 2 years ago now. We were out in, I think this was Humboldt or Logan, on the edge of one of those. And so we knew that the property needed to work. We came in, we were looking around, we got up to about the second floor, and I opened up a bedroom door, and there was a guy hanging out in there, just like hanging out, and I was like, oh, sorry. And we had like a couple minute conversations, just he said a few, I can't even remember what he said. I was so like weirded out, and my clients were like, let's go, and I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we just left. But yeah, that was pretty interesting.
So like,
luckily that doesn't happen too often.
So then when the MLS sends you that feedback form, you have to send to the
person living in your property.
FYI.
Who knows if they even care there was a foreclosure, and I mean, they should care, but like, yeah, those guys have so much business. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting too. And then it's what do you do? What would a buyer do?
Yeah. What would a buyer do? Like, could he move forward with that? Yeah, I guess eviction. Who knows?
You're evicting somebody without a lease.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. But it's I suspect it's not easy. But that is funny. What advice would you have? And I know you've actually given a lot of indirectly given a lot of advice about what you currently do. But what would you say to a new broker who's getting in the business 2017 right about now and is, probably struggling like every new broker?
Sure. I would say two things: consistency, and I've heard people say the growth mentality, but it's basically about education. Just keep educating yourself and consistency. So you got to get out there and just hit the streets. Like I heard some guy was, you told me this story. I listened to your podcast. He was going on LinkedIn or something and like contacting people.
It's interesting.
And I was like, oh, that's really clever. And for me at Redfin, it wasn't about that, because Redfin's model is so different that they give you the clients,
sure,
that you have to service them. But for servicing them, it was consistency. It was like calling them every Monday after they'd been out on a weekend, or if you hadn't heard from them in a few days, you know, giving them a call, sending them an email, sending them properties, and, you know, just really, once they're in your system, once you're talking to them, just be consistent about following up with them and giving them, you know, what they need, and being responsive to them. Yeah, I would say, I guess I will put the third one in as responsive.
Yeah, it is. I was telling you this off air, but you know, it is, again, it's so obvious to someone like you. It comes across in the way you communicate, you know, here with me and on the show. It's clear that, you know, your clients think highly of you. And again, it probably isn't, it's so obvious to you of communicate quickly, become knowledgeable, you know, and to a lot of brokers, I'm not so sure how obvious that is, so.
Yeah, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it isn't, but... I did want to talk about Redfin if you have
a few seconds. Absolutely.
Because I know that there's a lot of misconceptions about our model, and like they're like, what's going on over there? So like I always like to take these opportunities to talk about you know, a model that is different, and we are the new kid on the block, or we're not the newest anymore. There's all these guys who are trying to do, you know, buy the property for people at certain prices, and then I don't know who different stuff that's coming down the pipeline. We'll see how that works out. But yeah, so Redfin, you know, as a broker, I have all these clients. I have about 60 on my page right now. And so I work with all of them, but I send them out with associate agents. So we, you know, if you want to think about it, like to all many top brokers have a whole team that shows a property. They, everyone, you know, it's like, who are you maybe meeting on your team? And they just tell you the name, and it's like, great. We do that with a buyer. So we tell the buyer, we're sending you out with this person on our team,
right.
But I'm the guy for you. So sometimes we get that, you know, other brokers, they follow for feedback, and then it's like the associate, they're like, oh, well, the client like sort of liked it, but like didn't really like it. I'm the guy who would know, oh, they didn't like it because of XYZ reason, because
right.
I'm calling them afterwards, and we're discussing like, oh, you saw six properties, what are we talking about on these six properties? So, you know, unfortunately how the feedback often comes is the email, because the associate's setting up the appointment, the feedback goes to them, and they're like, well, we don't really know what feedback to give.
Well, that's just a limitation of the MLS's follow-up structure.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked to them definitely about sending that feedback request through to the lead agent on that client. But, you know, if you ever have any questions, really, when you're a broker and you've done a showing with an associate, you know, ask the associate, hey, who's the lead agent on this client? Who should I be following up with? And they if they don't know right away, because we all get busy, we all forget, and certain associates work under 10 different lead agents.
Sure.
So they might not know for that individual client, but they can find it out, and they can give you, you know, my contact info or the lead agent's contact info. So,
sure.
I just think that's really important to know, because a lot of people are like, oh, we see this client with like five different Redfin people and we have no idea. And it's like, well, that's our model. That's our model, is the associate agent takes them out when they want to go out, not around my schedule.
Well, and it's funny too, because if brokers inherently have a feeling that maybe that isn't ideal, clients seem to like it just fine. Clearly it's explained effectively by the lead agent, saying, hey, you're going to go out and see this property with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, and that's part of our spiel. To every client we get, we tell them, like, here's how Redfin's going to work. Here's how you can have success within our system. And unfortunately, we haven't had that conversation with the other broker sometimes. Because when would you have the opportunity?
Right.
Sometimes I'm at an open house and I'll have that opportunity. But, you know, I definitely don't see every broker at an open house, and when I have enough time to talk through the system. So
yeah, I've been super impressed with Redfin really coming up as a technology firm first, and creating, which I've always said, if you create an amazing service or product, the marketing of it becomes real easy, because the product or service, you know, sort of,
itself.
It does.
Yeah.
And Redfin has clearly become an industry leader in the technology side, and also the customer service side. You know, it's I never speak to, and again, I don't work for Redfin, so it feels like I may be doing commercial for them, but the reality is I don't speak to clients who have worked with Redfin who go, it wasn't for me. I get this like, no, it was actually really cool.
Yeah.
And that's, you get a lot of like, it was really, they were right on top of things. I got, the technology was good. I was getting a lot of communication, sort of, you know, automated communication. And also I was getting in touch with the agent, was right on top of things.
That's what we love to hear.
Yeah. So speaking of that, if any buyers or sellers, or I don't know if you work with renters as well, but if anyone who has any real estate needs wants to work with you, how should they get in touch with you?
Sure. So the best way would be to actually submit a tour request via the Redfin website, because we'll get you out with the best agent for you. Because, you know, I don't work up on the North Shore.
Good point.
No matter how much I'd love to.
Strong point.
That's if you want to do that. If you really want to work with me specifically, my phone number is 630-308-0795. You know, I answer my phone calls as best I can, and text is great as well. And then I also, email is really good. So alex.harriod@gmail.com. That's Harriod is spelled H-A-R. alex.harriod@redfin.com would be the best way.
And with one R, Harriod.
With one R, H-A-R-I-E-D. So yeah, that's really the best way. I have a profile on the website if you'd like to, you know, read my reviews there. And yeah, we looking for new clients all the time.
Sure. Well, I think you've said it all. And again, I know just how busy you are. You have 60 clients, and half of your year you're turning away business. So that is a real testament
to all my newer brokers. So.
Well, I appreciate your time, because I do know how busy you are. So thank you for being part of the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.